So today I'm going to be doing part two of gifts or stewarding your gift. And hopefully during the week you've been getting super excited about figuring out what your gift or your combination of gifts and your major gift. And we put out a questionnaire that was shared amongst the community groups. And hopefully you've got a chance to do that and to share. If you haven't yet, please approach one of the guys that looks like they've been here for a while and get those links, visitors. Just grab someone, say, oh, I'd love to find out my grace gifts upon my life, and do the questionnaire, and then share it and see, share it with someone else and see if they confirm it. It's been amazing how so many people go, that's exactly, where you're at right now. And maybe I heard from Auntie Michelle this morning that she actually even said that she's seeing new gifts that she's never seen on her radar pop up, that the Lord is doing something according to the season that she's in. So don't think that just because you've had these gifts for life that you're stuck with them for life. They're not that you're stuck with them, but they're a blessing. But there's more. There's always more, And Paul talks about desiring spiritual gifts. Like you can desire, gifts that you don't even have right now and trust the Lord to receive them through the laying on of hands, etc. So I also wanted to just add to that tongue that was shared. I also felt like the Lord, I think it was very clear that the Lord was saying, behold him, right? And I think Francois pointed to that. Oliver, that's pretty amazing. You put that through a voice search. But, that's the marvel of youth. They're open to anything, It's they do things before they find out that it can't be done, right? And I felt like the Lord was saying through that tongue about that he wants to break areas of stronghold in our lives. He actually wants to break it over our lives. And it's interesting, I think the scripture says as we behold him, that we're transformed into his image. And I think as we see Jesus, we're set free. So I think there's a combination. As we see him and behold Jesus truly, excuse me. I can't do that sparkling water. It's so interesting. I've changed my gift. Yeah, I can only do. It seems like it because yeah. Anyway, so the marvels of the journey, So as we're beholding him, there can be something broken. So I trust that as I share today, and today I think you'll see where because we're going to go down that direction. I'm trusting as I share today that strongholds are going to be broken in your life and that you're going to see Jesus and you're going to, those things are sometimes, they're ingrained in us. They fuss and God just wants to break it. I just see him breaking those things. It's a spiritual thing that has to happen. There's no psychologist, nothing that you can, no money can do that. Thank you so much. Why don't you just open that, Tiffany, if you don't mind? Thank you so much. You can just put it on the floor. Thank you. Hopefully I won't knock it over. Thanks so much. okay, Donna's not buying. Donna's not seen me knock these over before. See the wife. She doesn't be shamed by the husband. So each one of us have been given a grace gift. Thank you, my love. Each one of us have been given a grace gift. I'm just doing a quick summary of last week. Or a combination. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift in the NLT is given to each of us. Everyone say, each of us. So every single person sitting here, you have been given a spiritual gift or a combination of them with a major to help each other, to help everyone else here. And we saw that word is charisma, or that's one gift or multiple gift, charismata. So, and charis is the root of the word, which is grace. So they're grace gifts. They come from grace. It's not human skill. It's Jesus flowing through us. You can't fake it. If you do, it looks like hype. If it's grace, it looks like anointing. And you can sense the difference between hype and anointing. It's not loud. Can be loud. But it's not necessarily loud. Sometimes it's in a whisper. Elijah saw God in the whisper. Not in the massive lightning storm and all the glamour and drama. Mervis used to share, but it's the kabot, the weight of the anointing, the weight of the grace. It's the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift, charisma, you have received to serve others. So the gift is not for ourselves. It's actually owned by God and the church. We are just a steward of it. As faithful stewards, the steward does not own the property. He just takes care of it in its various forms. And that should put a sober weight upon each one of us. So if you haven't listened to that preach, please catch it up. It's available. If you go Google Josh Jen sermons, and you'll see sermons across the whole world. You can have a look at Andrew's sermons from USA. You'll see a USA tab or local preachers. We are not lacking preaching. And there's been a new commitment right now. Morne said, I want preachers under 40 minutes, you know, 35 to 30, hopefully. So they're not long preachers. They're tight preachers, you know. So for this season, maybe one day we will be released into the realm of Lucas, you know, again, you know, and we drank from these deep, deep, long wells, you know. So what's interesting, I looked at Romans 11:29, which says that the gifts are irrevocable. They cannot be taken away. That's what the word irrevocable, that you receive them the moment you get saved, you will carry them for life. They're irrevocable. Even if you sin, even if you backslide, they're still dormant. They're still sitting there. They're irrevocable. They will not be taken away. And it's not conjecture. It literally says, Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. As long as you're alive, the call is upon your life. And as long as you're alive, the gifts are upon your life. You could be 78, 89. As long as you're alive, there's a chance if you're not with the Lord. God can use anyone at any time that is saved, as long as you're alive. And I think we always need to, when we see our brothers backslidden, it doesn't mean that the gift is no longer there. That gift is there. It's just not getting used. Irrevocable. It's an amazing thought. That gift cannot be taken away from us. I mean, how precious is that? How amazing is God that he'd give us a gift and say, you've got it for life. I'm not going to take it away. You can do whatever you want. I mean, not you can do whatever you want. He's going to be grieving. But no matter what, I've given it to you for life. I'm that generous. I'll never like punish you and say, I'm taking away your gift or taking away your call, you know. They're irrevocable. Kids, you know where it says if one of either the mother or the father is holy, then the kids are holy. Do you know what that means? So if you've at least have one born-again parent, doesn't have to be both. At least if one of the parents are born again, it says that the children are holy. You know what that means? They're called. The child of a believer is called. There's a calling on their life. They're slightly closer. They've got what is it called? It's in theology. It's called prevenient grace. You have prevenient grace on your life already. You're closer than other guys. You're not necessarily saved, but you're closer because there's already a call. There's something that's been released through your mom or dad already, and that's why we look at the children are born again. There's a call in their lives. God's like, I want you. Others we might have to stand in the gap for. But they've already got the call. Children, if you have a saved parent, God is hounding you. He's chasing you. You've got no excuse. All you need is stop and look at him and behold him and he'll get that plan going. So today, I wanted to talk about blockages to that gift, and we're going to look at five areas. So, blockages to the grace flowing, and grace can be blocked. We can see some guys have got the gift, but they're not operating in the gift, and why are they not operating the gift? So, and this is the areas that I was hoping that and trusting that the Lord would break if they are in our psyche today, if they are in our makeup today, that today, as I go through these five areas, you'll go, I'm hoping it's like an arrow for those that need an arrow. He's a skillful surgeon. It might be painful, but the anesthetic of the Holy Spirit is amazing. You actually want it. He's a skillful surgeon. So the five areas are offense, unforgiveness, unholiness, disobedience, and lack of faith. Okay? So, fasten your seatbelts. You ready to go? Okay. So, if you don't get victory in these areas, and these areas hound each one of us, there's no one, none of us that won't face this at some point in time. If you don't get victory in these areas, it can stop. Honestly, I've had it in my life. Kim, have you had in your life grace stop flowing? Yeah. Ask any of the old guys here. Ask them, can grace stop flowing? Yeah, it can. It doesn't mean the gift's gone. The gift's there. It's just the grace isn't flowing anymore. And we see this in the life, so number one offense, we see this in the life of John the Baptist. So Matthew 11, 2 to 3. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? It's a startling statement. It's a surprising statement. This is the same person that baptized Jesus, that's John 3:13, proclaimed that he was not worthy to tie sandals, that's Mark 1:7, called on the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that's John 1:29, and declared that he is the Son of God, John 1:34. The same person who said all those things is now disillusioned and saying, are you the one, or should we expect another? How did John transition from such a place where he was before to a place where he was so disillusioned that he's thinking that, I don't think it's Jesus anymore? And actually asking the question of Jesus, is it you? I'm starting to think it's actually not you, it's someone else. And then Jesus gives us the answer a few verses later in Matthew 11, 6. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And what had actually happened is stuff goes down in our lives. And I don't think John the Baptist expected himself to be in prison. And likely that was the end of the road for him. And while he was sitting rotting in prison, he became disillusioned. Maybe at one point he said, God, why did this happen? How could this happen? It's interesting. He said earlier, I must become less and he must become more, referring to Jesus. But when he became less, he started to wobble. I don't have what I had before. You look back to the past, and God is God. When Job went through all that stuff, there was a moment where Job could have got miff. And his wife actually said, encouraged him and said, get miff. Do you remember? She said, curse God and die. And he was tempted to get miff. And he eventually settled and he went, you are God, I am not. If stuff goes down in my life that surprises me, that I did not expect, I won't be like John the Baptist and I won't be offended on account of Jesus, because Jesus is in control of all things, right? So if stuff goes down, you could actually say, God, how could you let this thing happen? Instead of resting on this scripture, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, everyone say all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God works for the good of those who love him. You've got to hang on that scripture. That scripture is either true or is not true. You know, something happens. I mean, we don't even have to go into it. Everyone's got a story, right? And in that moment, you've got to go, you know what? I'm not going to get miff. Because you know what happens when you get miff? Andrew says you climb to the highest branch of the miff tree. And you're sitting up there alone on your miff tree. And you know what happens? Grace stops flowing. Grace stops flowing. And people don't even want to be near you. You can actually become toxic. You're blaming God. You're blaming people. And God can't use you. Instead of just going, you know what? We've had guys, I remember, Jen, I'm not going to get into detail, but if I just remember the one time Jen coming to us, I'm not going to detail. I remember, I won't do detail, but I remember Jen coming, and Jen is one of the longest running deaconesses we have. I mean, she's super, you know, she has seniority, let's put it that way. And not by age, okay? Spiritually, I mean, she's solid, you know? Jen is solid. She's the pillar here, you know? And I remember Jen coming to the one time going, I'm just going through stuff right now. But instead of getting miff, she brought it to the elders and she said, I just need some time. She didn't step down from being a deaconess. She actually just allowed God to work her stuff. But she didn't get miff. And stuff is going to go down in our lives. And in that moment, come to people and just go, I'm just going through something right now. Help me. Pray for me. But I'm not going to get angry at God, because I know that he will use all things for the good. I'm not going to get like John the Baptist and say, well, I'm getting disillusioned with Jesus now. I didn't think it was going to be like this. Don't be a wounded animal. Wounded animals are not in the fight. You know, if a bummer happens, if something sad happens, you know, Joe was in a car crash the other day. You know, he wrote off his favorite car. You know, he can mope there and like, why did this happen? Why did this person come across the intersection? I was just minding my own business. It was green, like for a while. It was super green. He was obeying the speed limit. And then this thing happened. Like, he didn't do anything, but the thing happened. And he's got to say, like, can he, like, God, you know, get muff or whatever? Or he just go, God, you're God. I'm not. I wasn't doing anything wrong. This thing just happened, and I'm going to trust that you somehow use that for the good. Because he will use all things for the good of those who love him. Amen? So don't get stuck in offense with God. There was a prophetic word from Nia, actually. And she said she saw a God planting tulips. You know how tulips are in perfect rows when they get planted? And when God is planting them, it looked haphazard. But I'm paraphrasing. But as you zoomed out after a while, you could see that they were planted in perfect rows. God's working. Just let God work. You know, are we going to make him that small, or are we going to just say, God? And remember the finish of Job. He received more and more blessing than he ever had before in the end. God will reward you for that. So you can be miffed with God, or you can be miffed with people. And that takes us to number two, unforgiveness. Represent God well. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you get stuck in unforgiveness, it's a horrible place. Grace is not going to flow, because how can grace flow through you if you don't represent God? If God forgives you, but you won't forgive others, how can you be his representative? How can he use your gift? You don't represent him. And he warns that he may not even forgive your sin. That we're actually even tinkering with our salvation. And then it can overflow. And when Gavin looked through my notes, he pointed this out to me. It can even flow to bitterness. And you can get stuck in bitterness or a shadow. You have forgiven, but you haven't let go. You've got to let go. And Hebrews 12:15 says in the NLT, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So bitterness in you can spread. And this kills churches. Bitterness kills churches. And grace stops flowing, because people may have forgiven, but they haven't let go. They're bitter. First Peter 3:9 says, in the NLT, says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do. And he will bless you for it. We are children of blessing. We need to set ourselves free from the curses. Set us free from unforgiveness. Set us free from bitterness. We're called to blessing and to be a blessing, because God has blessed us. Let's move away from all of that stuff. Amen? So if you are stuck in bitterness today, I remember Morne gave me this word. I was going through a really tough time. And Morne said to me, just stop that. You're called to be a blessing. You're a child of blessing. And you know what? He did it very, I didn't feel like a rebuke, because Morne is very soft. And he did it with a smile on his face. I remember walking away, and it really impressed me. I went, man, I'm a child of blessing. What am I doing getting like stuck being all miff with people and God? And that stage a bit more miff with people. I'm a child of blessing. I could have moved on from that. There's a natural blessing in our lives. Just don't fight it. Number three, holiness, that we are holy vessels for holy work. 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Picture your gift right now in the context of the scripture. So you are of gold and silver. You're not of wood and clay. You are for special purposes. You're not for common use. So if you cleanse yourselves from the common stuff, you will be useful for the latter, which is special purposes, and will be instruments useful to him. Your gift is useful to him when you're positioning yourself like that. Position yourself in holiness. You know, you can play with sin, but you can't touch sin and not have sin touch you. And you will be needing ministry. Never mind you trying to give other people ministry, because you are hurting. And we see this here in Psalm 38:3. And there's a moan right in this. Right? There's no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. When we're stuck in sin, we actually are a wounded animal. We needing ministry. We can't offer ourselves a ministry. We're the ones in the community group going, I need prayer right now. I can't even pray for anyone. Why? Because we're stuck in our sin. Needing ministry, not positioned for ministry. So holiness creates that base for us to minister from. Otherwise, we're just faking it, or we're relying on rapidly diminishing anointing, because the Lord is tapering that thing quickly. The Lord is not going to use someone indefinitely that is walking in sin. And we see that in leaders that fall in sin. It's like that, they are no more. And the wonderful ministry is boom, until that thing gets dealt with, and hopefully they get restored. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Even if we lack sin in our heart, we haven't done the sin yet, but we're lacking it. God's already looking at our hearts going, that thing's an idol. And the Lord's not listening to us. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why do you need to be healed? It's because you're wounded by the sin. The sin is hurting your soul. You know, Satan tells us that sin will have no effect on us. Sin hurts our souls because we're not built for sin. We're built for righteousness. It hurts our soul area. So the remedy is, if you're stuck in sin, to confess your sins to one another, bring it into the light, right? And pray for one another that you may be healed. I remember praying for someone in the gathering yesterday that was stuck in pornography. And I'm basing it on this scripture. He's come into the light. He's confessing his sin to me. I'm praying for him that he will be healed and set free. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Number four. Disobedience. You must practice your gift. God wants you to be strong in your grace. 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my son or my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So God is encouraging each one of us to be strong in that grace gift. That's the vision that God has for you. Be strong in your gift. Don't be weak in your gift. How do you make a muscle stronger? Through use. If I want to make a muscle stronger, I go to gym and I practice it, and that muscle gets bigger. It's the same with our gift. As we practice our gift, it gets stronger. The grace gets stronger on it. Practice your gift. And the picture that I got was of David. So we often see the example of David fighting Goliath. But we don't remember that before David fought Goliath, the giant, he fought the lion and the bear. Everyone's looking at this moment and going, wow, this little shepherd boy picked up 5 stones, found a random slingshot in his back pocket. And I tell you what, when David walked up to Goliath, and Goliath didn't know this, he'd already killed the lion. Have you guys seen? I'll do lion first. Have you guys seen The Ghost in the Darkness? I think it's an 80s or 90s movie. Lions are hectic, Leon is. Lions are hectic. Kill a lion with a slingshot. Now I'm looking at Goliath going, okay, maybe that one's easier. Who's seen The Revenant? Leonardo DiCaprio. Try kill a bear with a slingshot. Leon again, movie guy. He killed a lion and the bear with a slingshot. Well, either with a slingshot or maybe, I mean, at least a slingshot from a distance, right? If he didn't kill you with a slingshot, they didn't have rifles. That means a knife? That's like worse. Like more hectic, you know? That's like close combat, you know? 1 Samuel 17:36. So what relevance has this? Practice your gift on your lions and your bears before God gives you your Goliaths. He prepares your gift over time. You got a teaching gift? Just Gen Kids needs teachers. Maybe that's your lion. And maybe that's your bear before you get your Goliath. 1 Samuel, and I tell you, I think David was slightly cocky when he went up to Goliath. He was dangerous. Goliath is like, this is easy. If he'd known backstory, he would have been like, this guy's killed a lion, this guy's killed a bear. Oh my goodness. This guy's dangerous. So I think David walked up with a bit of cockiness. I think with that story, we see that story in a different light now. He's picking, you know, they picked up 5 stones. I've heard this. One was for Goliath, the other 4 was for his brothers. He was dangerous. He was like, head vibe, I'm taking you out now. I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear. I'm going to kill you.
And the lion and the bear, no one saw. Yeah, but Goliath, everyone then got to see. And I was just thinking like that also, like, are you stewarding your gift and practicing your gift, not for everybody to see, for God to see, you know?
Very good. Thanks, Donna. They were missing your voice. And to build confidence in that gift, he became confident with that slingshot. Build confidence in your gift. Some of your gift is dormant and you're waiting for that wow moment, you know, when you get the stars align, you know, the dolphins are appearing in the ocean, you know, there's angels, there's trumpets. Now's my time. No, do it in the private. Go work your gift. Get skill in your gift. 1 Samuel 13:36, David, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He's even insulting him because he has defied the armies of the living God. Look for where you can serve and be faithful with your gift. Faithful with the small is faithful with the big. What's your small right now? And I'm on to my 5th point, lack of faith. Are we distracted or fearful? Lack of faith. Are we distracted or fearful? Because we know that fear is the opposite of faith. Do you have fear of man? What will people think of me? You know, when the brother came up to do that tongue, I don't think he's thinking about what people think. I think he's thinking about what God thinks. And that's why God uses his gift. He's full of faith. And where does faith come from? In Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. So when that brother came up, he felt God speak to him. That created faith. And then the gift started to operate. Are you hearing from God? Spending time in his word, immersing yourself in Christ. You can only share what you have. If you're receiving grace, you're transmitting grace. You can't transmit grace unless you're receiving grace. Where do you receive grace? In the quiet place. Public victory comes from private victory. I'll land with the scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:1. Do we manage to do amplified? We did. So you, my son or daughter, be strong, which strengthen inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. You know, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come under his wing. You need to come into that place with him, and that's where he's going to set you free from your stuff.